Hey everyone, welcome to Seen That, the podcast where we talk about cult and classic movies we haven't seen until now. For our third installment of our summer series, we're discussing Independence Day and why Avril,
welcome to Earth,
hasn't seen that, and much, much more. Hope you all enjoy. So far this summer, I guess, like you were just saying to me, Av, it's done a complete 180 since last summer where none of us were doing anything. It's been so crazy and I am so exhausted and my body does not know what is going on. So if I sound like I'm croaking, it's because my voice is basically giving out. David and I went to a wedding over the weekend, so there was a lot of partying, a lot of fun, a lot of chatting, a lot of singing, so I am pooped. And Avril has also had quite a week.
Yeah, I have. Nothing like being told you've got 4 days to vacate your apartment for 2+ weeks due to urgent pipe repairs because they're about to fail, so...
so crazy.
If the audio on my end sounds a little off, it's because I'm using my built-in Mac microphone. So bringing it back to the early days of Seen That, when I didn't have a microphone. And I am back at my parents' house. I kind of feel like I am in the situation most people were last year this time, like living with their parents, just kind of hanging out. And now that like things have reopened up for the most part, I am... back at home, living with my parents, hanging out. But I'm glad that they've let me come back and are letting me take the sun, back porch, deck, whatever we call it, as my recording studio for the time that I'm here.
Yeah, super nice of them. Thanks.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. Marks.
Yeah. Not that they wouldn't let you, but...
I know, I keep being like, I'm so grateful for my parents for taking me back home. It's like, most parents would let their kid move back home.
Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of why, you know, this summer series is kind of light and we're just sort of taking it as it comes, you guys.
We really are.
So yeah, I mean, it felt like June filled up so quickly and it feels like July is filling up. Do you have any, as on theme with this episode, do you have any 4th of July plans laid out yet?
I honestly don't. I know that sounds really lame, but I will most likely do something with my family, which is going to be great. I love them. It's always nice to be with them. So it will probably be something chill, low key. Watch how it actually ends up being this like massive party. My parents don't. No, just kidding. They're not those kinds of people. But no, I technically don't have anything planned, but I'll probably do something. It's honestly not my favorite holiday. I'm not like super patriotic. I'm not like that into fireworks. It's nice because it's an excuse to be usually with family or friends or both and like by the water. So like I associate it with like summertime, of course, and the ocean and just like being outside and you know, good food, good company, but it's for me less about like America and freedom and USA.
I would say the same. I feel like 4th of July is also one of those ones where like the plans kind of come almost last minute.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like even if it's months out, everyone just assumes they'll be at a barbecue and they'll be invited to it 2 days before. Like it's kind of like that for even if it gets like, you know, extended to be a long weekend. I feel like no one really goes anywhere. It's like, just do you or like go sort of to your local like beach or lake or whatever it is and grab beers. I mean, I love fireworks. I feel like I'm also a little bit biased towards 4th of July. It's not really my favorite holiday as like as far as like celebrating the like actual holiday part. I just feel like I'm biased because I was born in the summer. I was born in July. And I feel like I love like parties in the summer.
Yeah, no, same.
So the idea of like cold drinks, hot day, like, and then, you know, the addition of fireworks, I love it all. But yeah, I feel like that's why most people like 4th of July, just like getting together, like grilling and like, you know, drinking some cold drinks. It's not really about like Independence Day, yeah, you know, which brings me to this week's episode. Today, we are discussing Independence Day. Some quick facts about the movie. It was released July 3rd, appropriately, 1996. It's rated PG-13. It had a budget of $75 million and opening weekend grossed over $50 million. And has done very well since then. The director was Roland Emmerich. I might be saying that wrong. And he did, you know, he's directed Independence Day Resurgence, Godzilla, Day After Tomorrow. And the writers are Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin. And Dean Devlin also worked with Roland on Godzilla and Resurgence. And, you know, a lot of these types of movies, which I think we'll get into. It has a lot of, I guess, kind of a star-studded cast. It stars Will Smith as Captain Stephen Hiller, Bill Pullman as President Thomas J. Whitmore, Jeff Goldblum as David Levinson, Margaret Colin as Constance Spano, and Vivica Fox as Jasmine DeBrow. And then also quick thing, just because I love her, Mae Whitman stars as President Whitmore's daughter. And I love Mae Whitman and just every project that she's ever in. So anyway, and you can stream this. It's rentable pretty much anywhere. And I think I got it on HBO, for free. Yeah. So yeah, you can find it pretty much anywhere. And then a quick summary. When hostile alien invaders threaten to destroy our planet, a band of unlikely heroes, including an Air Force pilot, a crop duster, a satellite engineer, and yes, even the President of the United States, must find a way to outsmart the aliens' otherworldly technology and save humanity on our Independence Day. So I feel like it's so dramatic when I read the summary.
It really reads like a, in a world...
No, like it like definitely does. And I feel like we'll get into it. It's kind of one of my questions, but a lot of the like sort of cinematic moments in this are synonymous. I just feel like with like epic movie trailer likeness.
Yes.
So because this is an action movie with like lots of, I don't know, you know, guns, sort of army guys, and, you know, sort of government officials and things like that. I actually wasn't surprised to hear that you hadn't seen this film.
Shocker.
So I guess my question today isn't really like, why hadn't you seen that? And more like, what kept you from seeing that? Which is sort of similar, but yeah.
That is a good variation on a theme for a question. So I appreciate the the differentiation there. Yeah, said it again, or I've said it before, I'll say it again. Action movies, as I've gotten older, are just not really my cup of tea. And I went into this expecting it to be a very cliche, your stereotypical action movie. More on that later. But because of what I presumed it to be, I was like, nah, no thanks. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And kind of what I was saying earlier too, 4th of July isn't really my favorite holiday. I don't really care about it. And why do I need to see a movie that's all about blowing up aliens on Independence Day? Like, that just does not seem like something right. I would be interested in. And I also, I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Like, my parents, I don't think I've ever seen it. My sister, I don't think, has ever seen it. So it just wasn't talked about. I feel like we need to come up with a term to encapsulate that sentiment of, like, we weren't brought up knowing about it. Whatever that can be called, maybe we'll figure that out another time. But I was not brought up knowing about this movie. It was really only until like maybe high school or college I found out about it. And again, like no one in my circle was dying to see it or talked about it enough that it piqued my interest. So I really just kind of stayed clear of it for a very long time. Honestly, up until this pod. So it was sort of a mutual, I'm not going to seek this out, and the world I live in hasn't forced me to see it up until literally yesterday. So,
yeah, no, it's pretty much the same. I don't know what prompted me to see it like before the pod. I'd seen it like, I think for the first time a few years ago and then one other time since, but, and then obviously now for the rewatch, but Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know if it was like just our parents. Maybe there, I'm sure there are parents out there who like want to watch this movie with their children. Right. That wasn't any of my parents. So yeah, we should come up with like a word for that or a phrase. But yeah, I similarly was like, I'm pretty sure I know what this movie right. is and is going to be. And just felt like, I get it. Almost been there, done that, but I hadn't been there, done that, or seen that. Mm. So that was my sentiment as well. So that makes sense. That tracks. But you said you'd kind of steered clear of it. Did you know any of like the iconic sort of scenes from this before you saw it? Or like when you were watching it, were you like, oh my God, like I've seen that in a meme, or I've seen that as a, just in a reel of like movie moments. I don't know.
That is honestly something I thought about while watching the movie, because I know we've asked that question before. Mm-hmm. And I realized there was only one scene and one line that I recognized from this movie. And this movie is 2.5 hours long. This is a long movie. So the fact that I forgot how long it was.
Yeah,
I only had one reference. And that's what I said at the top. Will Smith punching alien saying, welcome to Earth.
Oh my God.
And wait, what's the follow-up line? He's like, that's what I call a comeback or something. What does he say to follow that up with?
Oh, shoot. I should have written it down. Too. I don't know, but...
That whole scene, maybe we can look it up. Him, you know, opening the spaceship, punching the alien, welcome to Earth. That was my only reference for the entire movie. Everything else truly was unknown to me and came as a surprise.
That's so interesting, because I feel like even before I saw it, I had seen the scene of the... of it, them blowing up the White House.
Mm.
And I think I'd also seen the, you know, sort of slow shadow moving across the like landscape before. But I don't know exactly where. It could have, again, just been in like movie highlight, like reels, things you just like
montages,
pick up on.
Yeah.
But I distinctly remember specifically at least the White House scene. And I was like, oh, that's where this was from. Like having that moment when I first watched this. So I was curious if like you recognize that, but
you know, now that you mentioned it, I probably have seen that shot before, but out of context. And so didn't associate it with this movie, cause I just didn't know it was from it. So I probably have seen more than I realized, but I only knew that one scene, that one line was from Independence Day before watching the whole thing.
Okay. I'm looking for that quote. I can't find it. Sorry. Okay.
It's all good.
I'll go back to my notes.
Oh, I just remembered it. He says, that's what I call a close encounter.
Which that is a movie that I actually haven't seen either.
I've never seen that.
Oh, okay. Damn, that means we can't do it. But maybe
we'll have
someone
can
interview us about it. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Now that you've watched it, what did you think?
I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh, good.
Because I really do think it doesn't totally fit the stereotypical action movie formula. It does for the most part, but I appreciated, at least this is what I took from watching only on my first time, my first viewing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take itself so seriously. I read the more like overly dramatic parts to kind of be self-aware. And even if they weren't meant to be that way, they've sort of aged that way, I think. This movie is almost 20 years old, so... No, it's over 20 years old. What am I talking about? This movie is, like, 24.
It came out in 96, so
24
it's...
24 years old.
Oh,
or 25. Yeah. And I kind of appreciated that, and it made the action scenes are the action scenes, and I actually did find the visuals of that to be pretty cool and more engrossing than other action movies we've talked about on this show. So I found myself more engaged than not throughout. Yes, I at times was like looking at my phone or staring out the window. Like I wasn't captivated from start to finish, but for the most part, I was into it. I was following along and I was more, emotionally involved than I expected to be. So overall, I really liked it. Mm. and I thought it was more funny than I expected. And I think because I had really no knowledge of this movie, what it was about, any real references to lines or shots, that like nothing seemed overdone to me or you know, oh, I've seen this, you know, this scene so many times already. Like, it just, you know, flew over my head. Like, every scene, and even that one that I referenced, were still really effective. So nothing seemed tired to me. And I think that helped with me staying engrossed. Which, unfortunately, for, like, movies like Star Wars or even Mission Impossible, I'm like, I've seen this a lot. And it just, I've lost interest. So with this movie, that was really nice. I was like, I actually have no idea what's coming next. And I'm along for the ride.
Yeah, I always do forget, too, when I go to watch this, how little action there actually is. I mean, there are, you know, big scenes towards the end. And like you said, it is a longer film. But I almost like in the beginning, like I wrote a note. I was like, this actually has a lot of like Aaron Sorkin energy. Yes. Like, yes. Even though I think it was like specifically when they're like walking in the White House. But, you know, even when they get to the lab, everyone's like walking and talking and they're like going to this guy and like seeing over here. Like, I don't know. It did feel like that in the beginning. It's like, you know, fast paced. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, things kind of, you know, disrupt from there. But it felt a little bit of that like mixed into an action film, which I feel like I always appreciate and I always am surprised by when I watch this.
But it did feel very West Wingy. In those early scenes in the White House.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I think sort of the, like, the banter, the back and forth between some of the characters, like the president and his sort of like right-wing woman. I feel bad. I don't even remember her name or her role, but
I think her name was Constance. Cause I always forget that he has, I know this sounds dumb, but like, cause he's the president, but I always forget that he has a wife. Cause yes. I feel like there's like on-screen chemistry between the president and Constance. And then I was like, oh, he's on the phone with this one. Like, I don't know what I was picking up, but it was like really weird.
No, that's a really good point. I honestly, she's also out of the movie for a good hour. Like, she's in it.
The wife.
She's in it for like the first
half. Oh yeah. She's like barely.
Then she's out of it. Then she's in it again for a little bit. And then she dies. Spoiler alert. So she's not really there. I agree. There's like more of a connection between him and Constance than his own wife, but that's just our opinion, folks.
Yeah. So did you feel like, I mean, you mentioned that it, you know, the moments weren't taking themselves too seriously. Did you feel like things were being like underreacted to or like overreacted to? Okay.
Yes. Okay. More to the underreaction, if that's like a word, if that's an expression.
Yeah. I kind of just threw that in.
Like the amount of death alone in this movie is horrific to think about.
Like, I shouldn't be laughing, but like, it's actually horrible. It's awful. And then all the president does is like put his head like in his hand for a second.
Like an atomic bomb is dropped and it doesn't even hit the target. So who knows how many people died from that? Not to mention all the people that died from the alien invasion. Not to mention people probably getting killed by other people fleeing the area. Like, the death in this movie is insurmountable. But I also can understand that it's an action movie and they gotta keep things going. So no,
they gotta have you move
no
past.
One character can really harp too much on a death. Like, there's one scene after the first wife dies. The first lady dies, the first wife. Like, the president is a polygamist or something. The first lady dies. It's kind of a sad moment. I got a little verklempt, I have to admit. And
oh yeah,
it was,
that was,
that to me is like the only scene that is like sort of sentimental about the death of someone. But then the next scene is like spaceships flying in the air. Like, it's very much, okay, we're moving on to the next thing. And I get that that's, again, part of how action films go. And it's not like this movie like makes it worse. Like, that's all action movies basically. And I think that's also like a realistic somewhat portrayal of life, like especially in war. And I think when people are in like really horrific situations, like it's sort of a way to, you can't really process what's happened because you're sort of in a flight or fight situation of like, I need to flee, I need to get out, I need to fight back. So you just don't really have the time to comprehend what's just taken place. But that being said, like that one point when the president drops the atomic bomb, he's like, God forgive us. Like,
he's I know, like, you're like.
And then it doesn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish.
Anything.
So he just like puts his head in his hands and like, it's just, it's not dealt with in a way that would ever be dealt with in real life. But because it's so overly dramatic, I thought it was funny. And I know it's wrong to laugh at like so many people dying, but it's just like, this would never be handled this way.
I know. So many of those moments came up in this right. movie for me. I just was like laughing, like, wait, what? Like, why right. are they reacting like this? Why are they saying this? Yeah. Did you think like the president, or I guess like not just the president, but like his staff handled everything well? Like, do you think they did all they could? I guess I'm just like, is this like a real, is this like a semi-realistic response scenario, or like, do we think that, like, I don't know. I part of me is like, maybe it is realistic that like we wouldn't have a plan. Like, LOL, it seems like with the pandemic we didn't do so great. But also, I'm like, we also didn't have the best man in office when that happened. So I go back and forth.
No, I think that's a really good question. And I actually kept thinking about COVID watching this movie. I'm like, there are certain, like, all the death is very relatable, unfortunately, to how many people in America alone, not to mention the world, have died from COVID. There's that aspect. Then the protesters, you know, in the beginning of the film.
That really made me be like, those are the people.
Right? I'm like, there's a correlation, there's a parallel here to people who have been protesting.
Like wearing masks.
Yeah, not wearing masks. Yeah. QAnon, like, you know, to me, I saw some connective tissue there. And then, the mismanagement, the mishandling, the mistakes that were made, especially at the beginning of the film by the president and his administration, is very, you know, in my opinion, very similar to what was not being done, really. At the beginning of the pandemic by the former administration. So very much, I think, a relationship could be drawn between COVID and this movie, which, you know, obviously they made this in 1996, but I, you know, so that's, you know, like we said earlier, like 24 years ago. So how would they ever know it would be relatable in this way? But it was just interesting that we're watching it now. And I'm like, there's so many real life parallels here. But to answer your question, I think it's like, again, sort of funny at the end when the president fires the like Secretary of Defense. Is like, I have to say, I loved the president.
I don't even remember that guy's name.
His character is so funny to me because it's just like so stereotypically like masculine and macho and stoic. Like, my God, like he did that so much. He just like had moments where he was like, okay, we're going to do this.
I felt like he was doing like too much and also not enough at the same time.
Also, I was like, that's that's the dad from Casper. And I love that movie.
Oh my God. I haven't seen that in ages.
We're doing okay. You've seen it. Okay. Damn it.
I know. But it's been a while.
Great. So I'm like, oh my God, I love this actor. I don't even know his name, but I'm like already, I'm like, all right, I can dig the president. But yeah, he was just kind of hamming it up the whole time. But at the end, when he, like, self-righteously fires the Secretary of Defense, it's like, dude, kind of too little, too late. I mean, like, it all works out in the end, more or less.
Yeah.
But, a lot of mistakes along the way. But that is sort of, like, what makes the movie go forward, even though it's like, ironic how, like, all these mistakes happen, yet that's how the plot keeps going.
I know. I'm sorry. I know we like harped on, or have brought it up, but I literally, something just flashed into my mind of like the underreaction to them being like, the like bunker is gone. And they're like, oh, and like, literally it's only like all the joint chiefs, the vice president. And then like, they like cut to like the next scene.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, guess you're not that upset. No. But I know we already touched on that. I wanted to bring that up. I don't know, like, do you think, okay, I guess like this is sort of a twofold question because I really want to get to talk about aliens, but basically like if there was an alien invasion, like, do you think the government like currently, like in real life, like has an actual plan, or do you think like people like don't ever think it's going to happen and like there's no protocol?
Even though I don't deny that there might be extraterrestrial life out there.
Okay, because that was one of my questions. Like, do you believe in aliens?
I don't deny that there's probably other living organisms out there. I think that is definitely true. What they look like, I don't know. I don't have that creative of an imagination. So don't ever hire me to be a, you know, production designer on some sci-fi movie. I'm already telling people I wouldn't be good at that. But I don't think about it really ever. And maybe that's a subconscious fear that I have of the unknown, of outer space, of I don't want to think about it, so I don't. But I don't, again, deny that there aren't probably living organisms out there. So I think there probably is a plan in place with the president. I'm sure someone briefs him or, you know, someone briefs them. That's the spaceship above me, actually. I'm getting called to...
I know, this light just appeared over Avril's head, and it's definitely... We both were like, UFO? Yeah.
Wait, remember from Toy Story with the little aliens? They're like, goodbye, my friends. I am off to a better place. Oh.
They're like my favorite characters in Toy Story. Planet.
You have been chosen.
I am the chosen one. I do think I could be totally wrong, but I appreciate the question. I think there probably is some kind of plan, whether it's like similar to a natural disaster plan, it's similar to I think that's what it has to be closest to. They can't just be like, we're gonna put everyone in ships and blast off Earth. Like, that's impossible. But I think there's probably got to be something in place. I just doubt that the president or our government work on it as much as they do other things. But I'm sure other people would say the government doesn't do enough on anything. So
that's true.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, mine is similar. I feel like I do like wish there would be some sort of plan. But then like as the years change, as technology changes, like all of that could go out the window. And also like, I mean, it's hard to say like, yes, we need to have some sort of plan, but it also just depends on what, you know, technology we're up against. I mean, in this scenario, they're like hostile, you know, and their force fields are like tough to get through and their goal is to like blow everything up. But like, we don't know if we ever encountered any alien life, like that they would be hostile I feel like it'd be so like beyond anything that we could even comprehend right now that like we're definitely gonna be unprepared, but also like I'm like, how would we even be the slightest bit prepared? like I don't know.
I have to say it's at simultaneously both scary but also somewhat impressive of these massive spaceships. They're what, 15 miles long each?
Oh yeah, each of them like huge. Are like the diameter of just huge cities.
That is kind of terrifying to think about. Like, yeah, what if a massive alien ship just like hovered over Boston or New York or any city or a bunch of cities and could literally obliterate the entire population of that area? But on the other hand, it's kind of like, yeah, we are only human. We only can, that sounds fucked up, but we can only do so much.
No, I know.
Like, I think, right. I mean, kind of going back to 4th of July and patriotism in America, like, to me, it kind of was a showing of like, yeah, we can claim to have the greatest military. I mean, on Earth, maybe. But in the galaxy, who knows? In outer space, who knows?
Yeah, I guess, like, I mean, if they come here deciding to blow us up, like, we've already lost. Because, like, we don't have the technology to get anywhere, you know. And so they've already won on that. Yeah. Like, they're going to be so much more intelligent.
Right.
So, but yeah, it is weird to think about. Like, it wouldn't induce panic. Like, I love how they were like, we don't want to cause a panic. I'm like, everyone's panicking anyway. Like, everyone's gonna panic. No one knows what's going on. And I almost feel like I feel bad for whoever is in charge during that time, because you kind of just have to literally be like, this is new to me too. Everyone just like, I don't know, like, find a bunker. Like, I feel like that's what go find a bomb shelter, honestly. Like, I don't know.
Right. Well, like,
or if that's what they're, I don't know.
Well, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, I was surprised at myself not being more upset or sad in those early scenes where cities are getting blown up. Mm-hmm. Because it is sort of framed in a way where it's just like these people are like running around crazy and everyone's stressed out. Like, at one point, the guy in New York in the car, like the friend of Jeff Goldblum's character, is like seeing this explosion coming towards him. He just goes, oh crap. Like,
I know.
It's kind of fucked up, but like it's sort of funny, but it's also kind of off-putting. And I have to admit, though, all of that aside, like, the special effects in this movie were really, like, well done. And, like, I was really impressed.
They were.
And it's fucked up to imagine cities getting blown up, but I do think they executed that really well. Like, it all looks believable. It all looks, like, it...
pretty believable for 1996. Right, exactly. Like, yeah.
It's high quality for that time.
Yeah. I would agree. I feel like it keeps you in it. Even in the moments where, like, this sounds mean, but like, yeah, when people are just reacting so, when people's reactions are so disconnected to what's happening, it's like almost funny.
Right.
So like, it almost made those scenes like funny, and that's not good. No. That's not good. But, cause I do think the VFX were so good for this time, and they did actually win an Oscar for the VFX in this.
Well deserved.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Also, like, I love in movies, there's just something about, like, there's like, okay, this thing is literally over New York. I understand that, like, no one knows what it is, but like, I don't know, the fact that like everyone would like try to drive, like, I don't know, like, I'm like, where is everybody going? Like, what is everyone gonna? I don't know. It's just so. I mean, that, I guess that is crazy. It's like, you'd get the thought of like getting stuck on like a bridge or like in a tunnel, like, cause I don't know, that just like freaks me out.
No, but it does. The car pileups, like people just having to like get out of their cars and run in the streets. Like, that is really scary.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me think of, they've got to have some kind of, if they even do have a plan, which again, I have no idea if they do. But if they do, I think it would have to be modeled after some kind of natural disaster plan, because
I mean, like, yeah, what would the evacuation plan even be?
Right, because like in this movie, all the ships are overhead. So like, and if they're 15 miles long, like, that does not leave much room or time to like get coverage wherever that is. So
no, and also like the explosion, it wasn't like just a cloud of dust. It was massive. Literally like a lava cloud, like literally just spreading through, like, and just, which is, was, that was, I was like, is this is just gonna keep going?
I do,
but yeah, I mean, if it's that, like, no one, unless they were like literally on the border of the like diameter of the spaceship, no one would be able to get out. Like, come on.
Also, this movie makes it seem like if you're in the Midwest or the Southwest, you're fine. That unless you're in LA or New York, like,
they would only come to big cities,
you're fucked. But if you're in the Midwest, like flyover country or the Southwest, you're fine. You'll be okay.
We don't, which is so crazy, because like, we don't know. Maybe they would want to land in an empty space. Maybe they want somewhere to park it. Hello, they park it in the desert.
It's a horror movie, M. Night Shyamalan, Signs, with Mel Gibson.
I've never seen that either.
I've never seen it either, but like, don't aliens make like signs in a cornfield in some, on some farm?
Oh, probably. I feel like that's always the thing. Yeah.
But,
yeah. And also in, what was that movie with Amy Adams?
Arrival. I love that movie.
Yes. I mean, that one, they kind of just weren't hostile. They kind of just were floating, and not all of them were around cities. Some were in like random fields. Like, they were kind of just around.
Have you seen that?
Yes. Very good.
Like, I almost want to talk about that movie now.
I love that movie so much. I guess like it is. I loved it so much too, because I'm like, that is such a different take on like what it, just a different scenario on like what it could be like. Right. I don't know.
Which, I, as much as aliens scare me, it is cool to think about all the different alien movies, if that's even a genre of film. I don't know if it is.
Oh, totally.
But like all the alien.
I feel like it's like a,
all the different kinds,
a subgenre maybe of something.
Yeah, all the different interpretations of what it would be like if humans and aliens interacted. So there is a spectrum there. Speaking of aliens, though, I think this is on par, if not close to, special effects, but also like the scary factor. It's on par with Alien. Like that scene when they're opening up, they're literally autopsying this alien that's not really dead.
Oh, that very much. I was like, that is full on, like, from
that
Alien.
Scared the, like, shit out of me.
Yeah.
And again, well done to the makeup artist, the special effects folk, because that was gross, but I also couldn't look away. And it was also scary. And I thought it was a nice kind of reference, but not like a direct copy and paste interpretation of Alien.
Yeah. Yeah. Pivoting just a little bit, I want to know what you thought of how they portrayed Jasmine and Captain Stephen Hiller. I feel like maybe those are two separate, like, answers. Because also I feel like we haven't even talked about Will Smith, which is crazy.
I know. Okay, I have to say, to answer this question off the bat, I mean, them as a couple, wow. Like, that is a power couple, just from, like, looks alone. Wow.
I know.
But also their son, I mean, I guess it's not, is that Will?
It's not his son. I forgot that. And I feel like I only picked it up this time. I was like, wait, why do they even need to have that in there? Couldn't it have just been his son? There was like, yeah, I don't know. There were so many things where I was like, couldn't you, he've just been his dad? Like, I don't know.
Right. So cute. The that kid, that child actor, adorable. Like, I like got teary at every time I saw him. I was just like, oh my gosh, you're adorable.
Aww.
Also, I almost was ready to hate this movie, but I didn't, because they did not kill the dog. If they'd killed the dog or let that dog die, it would have been game over, and I would have probably shut it off and been like, nope, we're not doing this episode.
No, they gotta save the dog.
I love how the dog gets its own, like, explosion scene. It's like, cool, dogs don't look back at explosions.
Boomer. Yeah.
Because the dog just jumps into this, like, I don't know, sewer system, and, like, an explosion happens right behind it. Anyway, I think that's a hard question to kind of answer, because it's like, I feel like everyone in this movie, no one's really fully developed. I don't really feel like I know any of these characters that well, and I think that's partly because there are a lot, so the story is constantly kind of shifting narratives and shifting perspectives and time and place, so it's, you're only going to get so much time with these people to learn about them. But also, I think because it's an action movie, very few action movies actually care about having well-rounded characters, I think, because it's, again, about the action and the choreographing of the scenes and the crashes and the explosions. Mm-hmm. So, like, that takes, I think, precedent over character development. So I don't really feel like I know any of them, including Jasmine and, is it Jim, or what's Will Smith's name in this movie?
Stephen Hiller.
That being said, he's very funny, and I don't know when fresh Prince of Bel-Air finished, but I was getting a lot of that character's vibes in this movie with, like, the jokes and the kind of swagger, and just it seemed, like, similar, and I couldn't tell if that was, like, sort of intentional, like, we want you to bring that kind of essence to this character because people will recognize that, or if it was unintentional, I'm not really sure, but, like, that I sort of picked up on. And, you know, I think all of the female characters in this movie are kind of poorly written. None of them really are leading any of the action. And it's...
Except, I mean, I will say, like, one of my notes was that I liked that Jasmine almost, like, I wrote that, like, I was like, she is actually, like, one of the unsung heroes of this film. Like, actually, like, saving, like, the lives on the ground. Even though they don't really, like, develop her that well, which was disappointing. Like, I was like, oh, she's, like, doing all this stuff when... And it was kind of at the point in the film when the president is still kind of, like, bumbling around with the administration. So I'm like, Jasmine is the only one doing anything.
She's the most competent
at that point
person.
Still, and I was like, at that point still, like... Will Smith hadn't done anything yet. So I was just kind of like, and I was also surprised. I forget how long we have to wait before they even come on screen.
Yeah.
Which I.
No, that is a fair point. I guess I sort of walked back what I just said, but I think overall it's like, even though Jasmine has like a couple scenes where she's sort of like taking control and taking charge and like getting, you know, shit together for herself and her son and the first lady and like other nearby survivors, the rest of the movie is about the president figuring it out and, you know, Steve Hillard, you know, figuring it out and like all these other guys. And like, it's, that's not really done to be like another movie with, you know, sexist tropes about women, but more of just, that's unfortunately just sort of how so many action movies go. So I'm not really, like, mad. It's just more of, like, that's how it kind of is. And I know it's sort of a shitty take on it, but I don't see the point in having that be a negative. Or it is a negative, I'd say, but it's, like, if you know that, because that's sort of how most action movies at least were up until a point, I think they still are to an effect. But, like, don't let that ruin the movie for you. I mean, you can, but...
Yeah.
To me, it's not... It doesn't make or break the film. But.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it is across the board that a lot of the female characters aren't developed. But also I would say, even though they give a lot of the male characters more to do, I would also say that none of them are particularly well developed either. Maybe Jeff Goldblum's character, maybe the most. I guess I just thought too, like, specifically with Jasmine's character, like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I, like, you know, picking up with everything that's been going on, but I was just sort of like, you know, there's this one, like, family of color, like, in the movie, and of course, she's, like, a stripper, and, like, he's not really his father. Like, I was just like, why did they even have to put that in there? Like, she could have, like, been, like, had any other job. Like, I don't know.
Right. And speaking of, you know, representation for non-white people on screen, I couldn't tell if the, I'm forgetting his name, but, like, the guy that, like, the crazy, like, share...
The friend?
I forget his name, but he is, like, the town, like, he's made fun of in the California town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forget his name. But him and his children, like, are they meant to be, like, biracial? I
don't know. Okay, this is just based on perception, you guys, and this is probably wrong. However, I don't know why I'm forgetting his name, too, but the guy who, is basically the, like, crop duster farmer man who had been abducted, he, to me, looked white, like, is white. Yeah. But his children looked vaguely Native American. And I don't know, I might have just been putting that on them because you know, they were in the Southwest or like, I don't know. But I was like, they don't look related to him at all. I don't know. But I'm making huge generalizations and like wild assumptions here.
Yeah. And I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I think, again, it's like not to give this movie a pass, but I agree. It's like this movie kind of does play into some stereotypes about Black people and African Americans in this country, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah. But also like, I guess I would say poor white people, like, or a veteran that's sort of like, they sort of make fun of him,
but
not only about being abducted, but about like his time in the war.
Right. Right. And I'm trying to think if there's like any other like cliches or stereotypes that they, bring out. I guess not. But on the other hand, it, maybe this is a stretch, but at times it can feel like those stereotypes that it's bringing out, they also let the characters sort of push back against. Like at one point, Jasmine tells the first lady, after she asks her, what That's do you true. Do? She's like, oh, I'm a dancer. Oh, what, you know, do you do ballet? No, it's exotic. And, she, you know, the first lady's like, oh, and kind of like scoffs or... I mean, this woman is like on her deathbed. So how she has the energy to be like,
I know.
Ooh. I'm like, really? But she then, Jasmine's character goes, don't be sorry. Or yeah, the right, first lady goes right. like, oh, I'm sorry. And Jasmine's character responds with, don't be sorry, I'm not. So, you know, it's a, that to me is a little.
Yeah, she's like, I'm proud of it. Right. I like, it's like, make good money.
It's worth it for my son. So like, there's at least, I can appreciate from the writer's room there, like letting her sort of own that and like acknowledge it.
That's true.
And again, this doesn't like make it like perfect that they like gave her that
totally
as a backstory, but like, I think them not acknowledging it all and then just having her like be the stripper would have been worse.
Yeah, you're right. I did appreciate that they added that in there.
And I wasn't expecting
and also
that.
Like had her have those character moments of like just saving her family and the dog and like get saving the first lady, like getting all, I mean, she did more than any other woman in the film, I think. So
no, that is true.
I also thought that was kind of nice.
That is true. I should have remembered more of that, but there is just so much else going on.
Yeah. There's a lot of characters and a lot of like people to remember. And there's like this whole like relationship with like Jeff Goldblum and his dad that like,
right. Well, and I think too, it's like at the end, unfortunately, like I think we would both agree, like Jasmine should get more credit for what she did. And it's at the end, it just goes to Steve and,
I know
Jeff Gold. What's his name? What's Jeff? Is it Jim?
Oh, David Levinson.
David.
Why do you think? I don't know. There might be a Jim in this movie. There probably is.
It goes to them, and yeah, they're part of it, but they're not like the only people that actually helped
I know.
Save Earth and save, you know, humanity. So I think that is sort of where maybe I'm like not seeing the forest for the trees, if that's the right, is that the right expression?
I think it's, is it you're missing the forest for the trees or something?
Whatever. I sort of got caught up in that too. And it's like, wait, like there's other people here that deserve credit.
Yeah.
And Jasmine is one of them.
Yeah. And I guess like, again, like you're saying, it doesn't make or break the movie. And like at the end of the day, you're like, okay, well, like, I guess those two were like literally in the alien spaceship and like put the nuke in the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's all these other like things obviously that they did. But yeah, it's just those things that are funny. We're like in kind of an ensemble movie like this, when there's so many people that do important stuff, it almost feels like nobody gets like credit. Like it was weird too. Cause even at the end, well, I guess no, the president does get like a few moments at the end. But I guess like the final moment where they're like walking, you know, in the desert and they like are running to them from the
car.
It's like those.
Sorry. No, that was straight up like cool guys don't look at explosions.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then it was like cool guys get the girl, like the two girls, like the women like running up
exactly.
to them. I'm like,
am I watching Top Gun right now or Independence
I know.
Day?
I know. It definitely had a little bit of that flair for sure.
Wait, speaking of Top Gun, I've never seen Top Gun.
Me neither. Okay. I love how we're like, it's totally Top Gun, but we're just assuming.
I have to say, I don't really want to see Top Gun personally.
I feel like I'll have to watch it probably at some point, but
at the end too, the dad, David's dad, is like trying to lead a prayer. I don't even know where they're at. Yeah. And the Secretary of Defense is like,
oh yeah,
I'm not Jewish. He's like, it's okay. Not everyone, or not,
nobody's perfect. I know there was a lot of really good, like, funny lines in this. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of funny one-liners. I wish I wrote more of them down to, like,
me too.
I don't know, bring up here. But speaking of, I guess, like, iconic moments and, like, lines from the movie, I got, like, super emotional when the president was giving that, like, amp up speech.
Oh my God,
was
really?
It just me? I know, it's so cheesy. Like, of course I'm sitting there in the beginning and I'm like, okay. Because literally, like, the whole movie, I'm, like, rolling my eyes at, like, everything this guy says.
Right.
And then literally he goes, like, we will not go quietly into the night. And I'm like, yeah, we won't. Like, I, like, got, like, so.
I feel like someone needs to say that at a party. Like, we will I not know, go quietly yeah. into the night. Chug, chug, chug. That's really funny that you... I mean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at your, like, genuine feelings of...
No, it is. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, why am I getting, like... Why am I, like, fired up right now?
I had the opposite reaction. I was like, this is, like, the too most much. Over-the-top shit yet in this film.
I mean, it is.
And I thought the best line was, you know, you're fighting for freedom, not from tyranny, not from, like, oppression, but from annihilation.
I know. Yeah. Like, the beginning is, like, hit or miss. Yeah. And, I mean, it is, like, eye-rolly that, like, the end, like, rhymes. But, I mean... but I thought, like, honestly, that was the most emotion that the president showed the whole movie. Like...
Either that...
Maybe when his wife
dies.
Yeah,
I was going to say, to me, it was then, when the wife died.
Yeah. But I guess, like, meeting the moment, like, and, like, yeah. being intense for his, like, people and, like, rallying the troops. Like, he wasn't, I don't know. This whole movie, I never, like, looked at this president or the portrayal of this president. And I wasn't like, I don't know if, like, having you in charge would, like, make me feel
but
safe.
But I think that's what the film.
Except for the speech. Except for this speech.
I think that's exactly what the film sort of wants you to feel. Like, he, in the beginning, is, by the public, is viewed as this, like, young, not idiot, but like incompetent guy.
Oh, that's true. So the line about their approval ratings was funny. I'm like, oh my God, if only that was the only thing we had to like worry about.
So he's not only got to deal with this shit, but he's also got to deal with like public disinterest in him and like a lack of trust. And so I think that probably well done to them, the creators of this film, because they created that narrative that you bought. And then at the end, you have a change of heart and by, you know, you can assume that, like, the country sort of starts to trust him and they appreciate his leadership and all is well until the sequel. But I think that makes sense.
And I guess you could, yeah. And I guess I might be, again, reading into it too, but it seemed like he, like, is struggling a little bit with this inner conflict of, like, I know I'm not doing enough and I know they're, like, not trusting me. And, like, he's, like, pushing himself, like, no, I am going to fly this thing. I am going to, like try to shoot this force field again.
Right.
I mean, again, I'm, like, reading into it. But I feel like there was sprinkles of that they left into certain characters. A lot of them, like, push themselves. I guess, like, also Will Smith's character kind of does that because his whole thing was, like, he didn't get into the Air Force or something. And then, like... I don't know. That whole thing was a little confusing. Yeah. But then he's like, nope, I'm going to, like, follow my dream and, like, do this anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm struggling now to remember all the details about that specifically, too.
Yeah, they, like, placed that in a weird, like, moment within the film.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, like, me reading a little bit too much into it, as we always do. But
we wouldn't be seeing that if we weren't overanalyzing everything.
I know. Maybe this isn't, like, the best question to end on, I guess, but have you, I'm assuming you haven't seen this sequel.
No. I haven't seen any of the other movies. I didn't even know. I stupidly was like, this is the only one. Nope, there's like two others, or at least two others.
Oh, yeah. I think I know I've seen Independence Day Resurgence, because Jeff Goldblum is back in that, and then this isn't really a spoiler, but the whole thing is that the son from this movie, I don't think it's the same actor. Obviously, this kid would have grown up. But anyway, the idea is that the son from this movie is like following in Will Smith's footsteps. And then like, it's like a whole like father son like thing. But Will Smith like isn't around in the new one.
Oh, I see.
I don't think. Okay. I don't remember if he, I don't think he is. But it's the same, like, I don't remember why the aliens come back or if there are new aliens, but basically it's like a similar situation and
really,
and drama ensues. Yes. You don't say.
I have to say, I'm stating the obvious here, but Will Smith is a great actor. His religious views and like him as an actor, I think he's great. And he's great on screen. He's great in action movies. Like, he's just entertaining. And he's more than just entertaining. He's a great actor. To me, that was, like, a major reason I liked this movie. He was really fun to watch.
And I always forget how much I like watching Jeff Goldblum,
yes,
too.
Yes.
I know he should be in more things. And I know he's in a lot of
honestly,
things,
Vivica A. Fox, she's beautiful on screen.
I know.
She's a great actress.
Great.
Like, I wish I should just seek out more of her films, because I know she's in a lot and I just need to watch more of her stuff because she's great too.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone did, except for the president. No, I'm kidding. No, yeah. It felt like this, it's funny because like, I feel like we were kind of saying this for Wet Hot American Summer, but like, this may not be any of their like best films or even the one that they're all most known for. But, like, it's funny that they're all, like, in this,
right,
and it kind of, I don't know. It's, like, just interesting.
I think it's funny, too, that Jeff Goldblum, so his character David, in most scenes in the film, he's, like, walking around a lab or, like, some big room with all these computers and servers and, you know, equipment and technology, right? And now he's in all of these Apartments.com commercials. In a similar environment where he's walking around all of these computers and like holograms of shit. And it just, it to me, I'm like, is that a direct reference to Independence Day? Because I get,
maybe
now that I've seen this movie, I again sort of am putting a correlation together. But maybe that's just me.
Also, does it feel like Jeff Goldblum like kind of hasn't aged? Like, he kind of looks the exact same.
Him and Will Smith look very,
yeah, Will
like
Smith
they haven't
looks
aged.
The exact same. Yeah. Ugh, crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, if only to have those genes.
Yeah, really.
So that's kind of it for my questions. Did you have any other topics or specific things you wanted to bring up about Independence Day?
I don't think I have much more to say other than, again, I really enjoyed this movie. I would recommend it to our listeners if they haven't seen it. But I don't know if I want to watch the sequels. Maybe later in life. I don't think I'm in any rush to watch them now. I am very much a, like, one action movie in, you know, every now and then. I can't kind of,
yeah,
like, when people are like, I did a whole Avengers marathon, or like, I did a Marvel movie marathon. I'm like, how? How?
Yeah.
How?
How?
I'm just like, I would hate that. I just, no, I need a break from the explosions, I need a break from the fighting, I need a break from the, like, all the same shit. So, this is fun, but I am looking forward to our next movie. Unless, did you want to say anything
else? No, I think that's it. I think, yeah, I would recommend it to anyone who kind of just wants a summer, like a fun summer movie. Honestly, like the vibe, I mean, it's not, I'd say the vibe isn't necessarily summery,
it's really
but
not.
If you're looking for like a, if you're looking for like a action blockbuster that is semi, it's a fun watch. I'd say it's a fun watch. And it just takes you on like a fun little ride for like 2.5 yeah. hours. And yeah, I mean, it kind of has nothing to do with summer, even though it's just
that's
like,
it though.
It takes place on the 4th of July. And then it like, and that's like, it. But
if this movie was called like,
it was a summer blockbuster right. though. So there's that.
Like if this was called like Freedom Day, we wouldn't have put yeah. it in the series, because other than it being called yeah. Independence Day and taking place on July 4th, it has nothing to do with summer. I mean, it looks warm in all the cities that the aliens are decimating, but that's it.
Yeah, yeah. But so, if you just want a fun action alien movie, this is that too. So. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Av, please tell us what we are watching next week. Or not next week, but for our next installment.
In a couple weeks, we're going to be watching Friday the 13th. And woo! We're going to be debuting it July 13th, not a Friday.
And it won't be on a Friday, but that's the closest we could do. Yeah.
But Haley has never seen that, and that is...
I mean, I don't think I even know anything about this movie, so I'm so excited.
It will surprise you, and it will make a lot of things make more sense to you.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it. But when you suggested it, I was like, are we sure this is a summer movie? But yes, obviously you know better than I do.
It is.
So.
It is.
Ah, okay.
And we're also going to go back to our Jersey roots with that movie.
Ooh, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to know much more. That is so exciting. So again, that wraps up our conversation on Independence Day, you guys. Again, in a few weeks, we'll be discussing Friday the 13th and why I haven't seen that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow us on our Instagram at SeenThatPod. You can keep listening to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. And please follow us on those platforms as well so you get notified every time there's a new Seen That episode. Remember, we're all in this together. Keep staying safe, you guys. Put sunscreen on. It's hot. You know,
yes.
Stay cool. Get vaccinated if you haven't already. And we love you. And I love Avril.
I love you all. I love you, Haley. And I love you, Miles, wherever you're at.
He's putzing around, yes.
And until next time, everybody.
Bye, guys. Bye.